Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
There you go.
There are a lot of people who believe their lies. Listen, man, we do 4 hours a day. It's hard to remember every single thing that I say. Every single thing, every single day. I don't remember what I said an hour ago. 5 minutes ago, I don't remember what the hell I said. What were we talking about? Oh, heavyweight fights.
Do you remember Mike in Oakland from 3 years ago?
Oh, yeah, I do remember
clearly
that.
Clearly wasn't the same Mike, because Mike said that wasn't me.
Yeah.
It sounded like we all know there's only one Mike that lives in Oakland, so.
Just one. Mike in Berkeley. There's a Mike in Berkeley.
Berserkly? There's a Doug in Berkeley. There's a Mike in Berkeley. There's a Shaka in Berkeley.
Well, Mike in Berkeley's on the line.
Oh, what does he want to talk about?
Let's see. Mike in Berkeley. What's happening, baby? Happy New Year.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Mike?
Happy New Year to you both.
Hey.
I'm just kind of wondering when I've been watching the last couple games, and I'm wondering if there's something personal going on between Steve Kerr and Moses Moody. I've watched the Warriors for the last couple of years. I think that maybe when Steve Kerr had to go to the podium and not necessarily apologize, but say, hey, it was my bad for pulling him after Moses Moody hit 4 threes in a span of like 5 minutes. And I think that's really resonates with Steve Kerr. Like, he's never going to have to do that again. I think it left such a sour taste in his mouth. And that's got to be the only explanation I can think of. I mean, Moody's been, 11 for 13 and 7 for 9 in the last two games from three.
Double-digit scoring in the last three, Mike. Double-digit scoring in the last three. He's starting to come into his own here.
I don't get it. And I've followed basketball for a long time, and I know there's personality conflicts, but this young man doesn't seem like he has a conflict. He seems like he's pretty buttoned up and pretty well together. I don't understand it. No. And I think it bleeds into the rest of the Warriors, too. I think they look at this and go, huh, there's something going on there.
Mike, I think
it's holding them back.
Yeah, I just think it was a byproduct of all the numbers. Thanks for the call, Mike. I don't think there's anything personal going on between Moses Moody and Steve Kerr. They have conversations every single day. Now, there is frustrations for Moses Moody. How can it not be? When you're not playing as much, and you see Lindy Waters get a start, you see Pods get a start, and you think, man, this is my fourth year here. When am I going to get a crack at this? And I'll sign a long-term deal. So then he got hurt, set him back. But since he's been back here, and you look at his last three games, 4-for-11, 11. All right, fine. In a loss. But he played hard against the Clippers. Then you get to the Cavaliers. Nobody played well with the exception of him. He goes 7-of-8 from the floor with 19. Tries to play some defense, a hustle, and a bad loss. And then last night, he goes 4-of-5 for 12 points. So 15 minutes. I do think he will get more of an opportunity. But how good is Moses Moody? We're not there at the practices. We're not at the shoot-arounds. We're not there at the film studies. So I don't really know. I don't know. And I'm going to trust the championship head coach to kind of push the right buttons here. But you got to think, with the rotation being short now, Mike and Berkeley and everybody out there who's wondering about Moses Moody, I think Moses Moody's going to get a crack. And I think he's going to be part of this nine-man rotation moving forward here. So let's just hold our horses and see how January plays out for Moses Moody.
He's in that tricky spot, Bonte, where it's like he leaves you wanting more because you only get a short amount of time of him given each game. But when you get too much of him, sometimes it leaves you like, oh, well, that wasn't what we wanted. Like, it feels like that happens a lot with Moses Moody. And to Mike's point, like, that comes with playing time and knowing what you're getting on every given night. And we just don't have that with Moses. And that's not his fault. And that's something that Steve Kerr has to figure out. And he's been trying to figure out. It looks like he's figured out with Jonathan Kuminga. Because both of them were in the same boat at one point, and that was when fans were like, okay, like, are we going to figure out what we got with these two high draft picks? And we're figuring that out with Jonathan and Kuminga, and that makes me feel and gives me hope that we're going to figure that out with Moses Moody going forward here.
I do too. I believe so, too. So we'll see. A lot is on the table for the Golden State Warriors moving forward here. It is trade season, February 6th. These are some big games for the Warriors. As you mentioned earlier, Spadoni, 17 games up until the trade deadline. So a lot of things are on the table. What if they start surging? What will the Dunleavy do? What if they start going the opposite direction and they fall five games below 500 or whatnot? We'll see. We shall see. But I think a lot of people, well, the Jimmy Butler thing is going to be on the table for a long time. Zion's going to be on the table for a long time. Jakob Poeltl's a name that is reasonable. I can get down with that. What is it going to cost you? You know, do I you know, 510 says might be able to trick Dallas into trading Lively or Gafford for Draymond. But, I mean, what are we doing here? That's not how the NBA works, man. Dallas is set with their bigs.
I also think that helps Dallas. Like, why would you want to help them out more by having Draymond Green there and you might have to play them in a playoff series? I would not want to do that.
Yeah, not doing that. Not doing that at all.
Draymond does love him some Luka, though. He does.
A lot of people love Luka. Well, can we do this?
Sure.
We've been teasing the J.J. Redick thing.
We have been.
You want to do that now? Let's do that now. Let's do that
right
now.
Let's do that now. That can lean into our conversation with Kenny Caraway.
I know we have 60 seconds to celebrate, but we had Loveman.
You want to save it, Sam?
Let's get 60 seconds to celebrate out the way.
We can push it to 9:45 if we want.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HG1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's do 60 seconds to celebrate right now before I get Shark fans on my line saying that I'm a Sharks hater.
It's time for 60 Seconds of Celebrini.
Celebrini exchanges. Shoot, star!
Where we recap all the great things Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini did last night.
Wouldn't you know it, the number one overall draft pick, Macklin Celebrini.
Your 60 Seconds of Celebrini starts now.
It's a quiet night for our boy on the ice and the Sharks' 2-1 win over the Lightning. Nice little revenge win for the Sharks last night. As you remember, the last time the Sharks were in Tampa, before you could blink, it was 5-0 in that one. So Sharks win 2-1 last night. Three shots for Celebrini. That was about it. He did have a sweet ankle-breaking move on Tampa defender Gage Goncalves in the third. Some of these hockey names are very fun to say. But kind of burying the lead a little bit, guys, Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Pickles! He finally was back on the ice last night making his season debut, and he did not waste time helping things out, helping Tyler Toffoli start the scoring in the first period. Steven, play it.
Good shot just goes wide. Now it's Vlasic. Back for Toffoli. The dangle. The shot. He scores! Tyler Toffoli!
Yeah, getting the help there from Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Randy Hahn on the call there. Mario Ferraro would give the Sharks a 2-0 lead in the second. The Lightning would cut it to 2-1. But then Yaroslav Askarov with the dominant performance in the third, stopping 14 shots in the third period. He stopped 24 of 25 shots overall. Sharks win 2-1. You'll love to see it. Snaps a 7-game losing streak for the Sharks.
Needed that win. Big win for the Sharks.
They hadn't beaten the Lightning since 2019.
And by the way, if you go to DraftKings Sportsbook right now, leader in the clubhouse for the Calder Trophy, as we all know, that's the Rookie of the Year Trophy, as I knew that this entire time, looking this award up. Macklin Celebrini, leader in the clubhouse right now, -180 to win the Calder Trophy. Right behind him at +210, as Sam knows, the great Matvei Michkov. Great.
Look at that knowledge.
Matvei Michkov.
Very impressive. Very impressive stuff. Very impressive.
I got to be honest. When I pulled up the awards for NHL, it didn't say Rookie of the Year, DPOY, any of the ones.
Hart Memorial, Calder,
Norris,
Vezina.
Yeah, Calder and Jack Adams. Is that like a lager or
like
something?
I like that they have the trophies actually named after players. I think
it's cool. It's very respectful, which I like. Because we do that with like the conference now. They got like the Magic Johnson trophy, Larry Bird. Like, it doesn't really hit. Maybe like 20 or 30 years down the line. Eventually. Like the Bill Russell Award. Like, that's cool. Like, that's
the Magic Johnson Western Conference Finals MVP. I'm not mad at that. It'll start to stick.
Doesn't like Major League Baseball's tech like the Hank Aaron NL MVP or something like that? We just never say it, though.
We never say it.
Which we probably should.
What's the AL one?
Is it Larry Doby?
Why do, for some reason, Jimmy Fox
do they even have one?
Popped into my mind.
Jimmy Fox? Well, he's a legend. He's a really good player.
Rizzo would know this.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. it's not that important.
Wasn't it the Jackie Robinson Rookie of the Year?
Stock down. Let's see. MVP baseball awards. Names. How do we get on this?
We can look it up at the break if we want Taze's J.J. Redick sound.
Yeah, J.J. Redick. I want to get to him. Plus, Kenny Caraway, 920. Kenny Caraway, co-host of D-Lo at KC, ESPN 1320 in Sacramento. He'll join us on the other side to talk about some Kings, Warriors. I know we got a couple games before that, but you got the Grizzlies Saturday and then, of course, the Kings Sunday. But we'll get to Kenny Caraway, and then we'll talk some Niners with him as well. What does he think about Shanahan, Purdy, and all the rhetoric about that? Should we just play? We don't have time. We have time? Okay. Here's J.J. Redick on the media. J.J. Redick, L.A. Lakers coach, because Charles Barkley clapped right back at J.J. Redick. Here's what J.J. This is what set Barkley off,
though. This was from 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. This is what set Barkley off.
I don't think we as, and by we, I was part of it, we as the sort of national partners have done a good job of storytelling, of celebrating the game. If I'm a casual fan and you tell me every time I turn on the television that the product sucks, well, I'm not going to watch the product. And that's really what has happened over the last 10 to 15 years. I don't know why. It's not funny to me. Nothing is entertaining to me. This game should be celebrated. I've watched the league evolve. I'm in this league right now. I can tell you without fact, or with fact, that the league is more talented, and not just raw talent. The league is more talented and skilled than it was 18 years ago when I was drafted. That's a fact. There are more players that are excellent. There are more teams that are excellent.
So that's J.J. Redick.
I thought there was a lot of truth in what he had to say there. It's actually like it was a long response. It's like a 4 minutes.
Yeah, no doubt.
But he did speak that I was a part of it, and I was part of the problem too. So,
no doubt.
I don't think, and it wasn't like he took a complete shot at the NBA on TNT crew with Charles Barkley, Kenny, Shaq, and Ernie and all those guys. I think they do a great job, but I do think, you know, where we're at when it comes to the coverage of the NBA nationally, it pales in comparison to what we talk about when it comes to the National Football League. And I think it starts there,
yeah.
The coverage of the sport. Monte,
no, it does.
You're a part of it at a local level.
I mentioned this. I think First Take has done a lot of harm to the NBA and the way they talk about the NBA, the dialogue. Inside the NBA is funny. Those are Hall of Fame players for the most part. Kenny doesn't really, you know, that's more Barkley kind of talk about these guys and Shaq. And they have validity to what they say. A lot of these guys don't play hard night in and night out. You think about it, there was a lot of pride in the 90s of guys playing 82 games, and now you get the load management or whatnot. So there is a lot of truth on both sides of the equation, but the media has done a poor job in highlighting the good with the NBA. It's all about, too many three-pointers. It's always people complaining. That's what people do these days. But here's what Barkley had to say in retaliation to J.J. Redick.
Was he just talking about folks on TV?
What did he say? He said something about we're the reason people ain't watching this crappy product we got. JJ. Yeah, us. Like, we out there jacking up 103s a night. JJ, I don't know Jason Monroe. I don't know who that is, but JJ, you come for the king, you better not miss. Because I can get you, brother, because I got your Lakers games. You can't hide them flaws they got. You just a dead man walking. They got rid of Frank Vogel, who did a good job. They got rid of Darvin Ham, who did a good job. But you came out there thinking you were going to change things with that same ugly girl you went on the date with.
64-51 was your halftime score. Lakers, we get back to the highlights. Rudy Gobert.
So he came in there thinking, I can make this thing work. Yeah, you can.
77-71.
Put the makeup on that pig.
Man, Lakers are pigs.
The Lakers stink, man.
Oh, man. Okay.
I gotta love Barkley, man.
I guess he kind of proved JJ right a little bit with that response, but you know what? That's why we love Chuck.
Well, he said, hey, we're not the ones jacking up 103s. You are.
That's the way the NBA is played now.
You gotta fix it.
He did say earlier, and we'll get into it on the other side because I know we're up against it. We got Kenny Caraway of ESPN 1320 coming up, Bonte. We could ask his thoughts about the NBA as a product,
absolutely.
Too.
We'll play the sound bites for him.
Yeah, perfect.
We'll do that. Hey, man, last segment of the show on the Payday Friday. Feeling good. Hey, 2 day work weeks are not bad.
Hey, Bonte's gonna be singing in the rain here in a second. He's chipper. He's feeling good.
I'm a bit feeling good since the holidays, man. New year, new me. Is that what the kids say?
Relax.
Segment sponsored by Chilled Autobody.
Dub Nation, it's Lindy Waters. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Lindy. Lindy, mister, I stay with that strap, Waters the third.
Wow.
I stay with that strap. You heard what he said after that first game? Our guy Shasky's ready to put him in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. After that first game where he showed out.
There's a lot of water references this morning. The Golden State, obviously, you know, one of the Splash Brothers. Splash Buddy still hasn't made an appearance since early on in the season. But Steve Kerr mentioned the floodgates opening. Lindy Waters, that's another one. And it's raining outside.
It is raining outside. We got the perfect guy on. Since you brought up Buddy Hield, we had the perfect guy coming out to the show.
Oh, his number one fan?
Discuss Buddy Buckets. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Kitty Caraway joining us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? I don't know who's the best dressed man in Sacramento. Is it Damian Barling or Kitty Caraway?
I thought it was Kyle Madsen.
No, guys. I mean, Kyle Madsen can dress.
He's got great hats, so I'll give that to Madsen.
He ain't wearing Gucci into the studio.
No.
He's not wearing Louis Vuitton.
Doing flannels like you.
Yeah, he's not wearing big Cuban links around their neck.
Is he
around a sweater?
Are we getting the ascots like Charles Woodson?
This guy walks into the studio with a cardigan and a Cuban link around his neck that cost about $40,000. Damn, the money must be flowing in Sacramento, man, at 916. Damn, I'm in the wrong market.
Hey, look, man, do we need to pull up Baby Chez's birthday pics again? Do we need to do that?
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I had the little birthday hat on, right?
Oh, no. I saw some Medusas. I saw a Medusa head on there, man, so we already know what that means.
Hey, the only thing I'm disappointed about is I didn't take the chains out that day. Damn it. No, and I'm trying to get like you guys up there in Sacramento, but it's my boy Spadoni, man, just brought up Buddy Hield. And before last night, Buddy had missed 23 of his last 25 three-point attempts. And, you know, the first 15 games, it was all good, right? They're 12-3, the Warriors, that is. And Buddy's lighting it up, and people are already saying, oh, Buddy over Clay. Clay who? I said, wait, just hold your horses real quick. And Kings fans are telling me, just wait, Bonte, just wait. Now, I still got hope that Buddy Hield will get his shot back. But, boy, the struggle's been real. He shot 30% from three in the month of December. Is this who Buddy Hield is? Have we just not watched the rest of the NBA the last decade?
Short answer, yes, this is who Buddy Hield is. That's just what it is. Now, look, so Buddy's a little complicated. You talk to a lot of people out here in Sacramento about Buddy Hield, and they won't have too many nice things to say about Buddy. Buddy is fine with me. Like, he's fine. Like, the reason why he gets a lot of hate is because he literally thinks he's Kobe. Like, he's like, no, I'm Kobe. Give me the ball. Like, I'm a cook. Buddy Buckets is a real thing. I thought at the beginning of the season, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was like, yo, this is crazy. This guy's shooting like 58% from three. He can't miss. He's hitting off the dribble. I said, this is crazy. Now you see the way he's playing right now. And I don't believe this is – he's not going to be like this the whole year. You know, he's just an up-and-down guy. I think I always thought with the Warriors, it was a good fit for him because they had enough guys around him where he could just focus on catching and shooting or, you know, shot hunting and things of that nature. Now, the problem is if you're getting Buddy Hield doing that on about 8 to 12 shots a night, cool, 12 is kind of pushing it a little bit. But sometimes he out here taking 17, 18, 19 shots. Like, all right, man, you're doing a little too much now. And that's the thing. Buddy in moderation, that's really the key. And if he can slow down, like, just his the amount of shots that he takes,
right.
I think you could see those averages dip up a little bit. But right now he's pressing, man. He's in a cold streak. He'll get out of it, but he's in a cold streak. When he gets cold, he get ice cold.
Yeah, no, we're finding that out right now, man. He hit a three last night and looked at the heavens and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this. But what did you make of Draymond Green the other night? Oh, last Saturday against Phoenix. Where he's yelling at Buddy Hield and said, wake the bleep up. Or go sit the bleep down. I say, damn, you coming at Buddy like that, man? But you know what? They won the game. And Draymond said, look, I'm going to talk to him like that. And then he does his
course.
Draymond goes, what he said, I know Buddy hasn't played a lot of meaningful basketball over the course of his career. I'm like, damn, what you making that with Draymond? Was it appropriate? Was it needed?
Hey, it was understandable. understandable. And you know how it is with Draymond here in Sacramento. But at that moment, we were connected. All right, we were
the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
We feel you, Dray. We feel you, big dog. We've been saying this for I don't know how long. It happens. It happens with Buddy Hill. Like, sometimes somebody needs to yell at him. Somebody's going to yell at him. Somebody's going to look at him crazy. I remember one time, Buddy got the ball. Tyrese Halliburton was still here. Buddy got the ball with the game clock running down, end of the third quarter or something like that, and takes a dribble at half court, lets it go, right? Misses. Tyrese Halliburton runs down, catches the ball, puts it back in at the buzzer. So me telling you that story lets you know how much time was on the clock when Buddy shot a half-court shot at the end of the buzzer. Tyrese got the rebound, put it back up and in before the buzzer. And Tyrese gets the ball, puts it in. He don't even celebrate. He looks at Harrison Barnes like, what's this guy doing? Like, what is he doing? That's the Buddy Hield experience right there. Draymond got a piece of it. And like I said, we was connected on Saturday night, and we was all like, oh, we feel you, Dre. We feel you. We're not always on the same page, but we feel you on this one, big dog.
Talking to Kenny Caraway, co-host of D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320 in Sacramento, our sister station over there, and the Warriors and Kings obviously play on Sunday. And Kenny, I'm just thinking right now, like 2 years ago, these teams met in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs, and since then, it's been... Not a dumpster fire, that's really strong, but it's just not been good basketball between both of these teams. Obviously, last year in the play-in, Kings won that game but failed to make the playoffs. What the hell has happened to the Sacramento Kings in the last few seasons since that Game 7 matchup at Golden 1 Center?
Man, it's crazy. You know, you talk about 2 years ago and you talk about Kings versus Warriors. And people are talking this year, what's wrong with the NBA? They don't have any rivalries on. That was supposed to be it. Kings Warriors are supposed to be. Yeah, I know we go back and forth, and you know the Warriors are the Warriors. You know they move the needle. They're the ratings and all. But you need a dance partner, right? Mm-hmm. You need a dance partner a lot of these times to have these mega ratings sometimes. And that was the dance partner, the Warriors, the behemoth that was the Golden State Warriors with the madness that was Golden One Center and the Beam Team and all this other stuff. That was supposed to be one of them rivalries that was going to help the NBA moving forward. And both of these teams have just fell flat on their face in the last 2 years. Sacramento, I mean, there's so much going on. There's so much disappointment for what happened this year. You know, you get DeRozan in the summer, and you feel like that's going to be something that's going to propel you to back to the playoffs and a little bit more. And it has been the exact opposite so far. You know, the four games under 500. They fired Mike Brown at this point, who just won Coach of the Year. Less than 2 seasons ago. And, you know, they're struggling. They're doing what they can to keep their head above water right now. They got Doug Christie in there, and a lot of people are upset about what happened with Mike Brown. A lot of people are upset, and I understand it. I didn't like it either. You know, I didn't like Mike Brown having to leave, and I didn't like the way it went down as well. I understood it, though. And then you look at Doug Christie. I'm a big believer in Doug Christie. I think Doug Christie is a leader of men, which is something that they were missing in this locker room. And he gets people to believe in what he's saying. And he's 2-1 in his first three games. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe it'll just be the same thing because the roster does have a lot of shortcomings. Maybe it'll be the same thing. But I don't know, man. I'm here to put it on wax, man. I think Doug Christie is going to do a lot of good things with the Sacramento Kings, starting with this interim time that he has right now, man. I'm a big, big believer in Doug Christie. His time is now, and I think he's going to do a really good job.
You know, Casey, I watched you guys on the live stream the moment Mike Brown got fired. It was entertaining radio. Damian Barling set the tone. And I was like, was the FCC listening? But
yeah,
I heard you guys.
Don't put it in front of Baby Chess.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, I had to turn it down. And Baby Chess looks at me, he's like, oh, Papa, he said bad word. And I'm like, yeah, bad words are not good. But in that case, I feel the pain. I feel the passion. Even Kyle Madsen jumped in an Uber or something. I don't know where Madsen was at. I was like, damn, they got to live in Sacramento. I'm locked in for this. But after the shock wore off about Mike Brown being fired and the way it went down, a lot of grief and a lot of heat went towards De'Aaron Fox to the point where I saw De'Aaron Fox tweet at somebody saying, yeah, nah, you guys got this all messed up here. I'm not the reason Mike Brown got fired. But how are Sacramento fans now, despite Fox saying that, hey, we don't know what happened with Mike Brown. We don't know if Fox had something to do with it or not. From what I hear, he didn't. But how are Kings fans viewing Fox now after not only the Mike Brown firing, but the Rich Paul meetings with the Sacramento Kings brass, in which we don't know if Fox is going to be there in Sacramento long term? Have Kings fans sort of turned on Fox right now?
There's a contingent of fans who, you know, are frustrated with De'Aaron Fox, and some of it comes from just him by nature, right? Like, he's kind of a low-key guy. He's not a rah-rah guy. He's just kind of chill. He goes about his business. One of the frustrations that a lot of people have had is he just hasn't done the whole takeover games thing enough in his career. You know, he kind of lets the game come to him, and it sometimes can be a little passive. And with his talent level, because Monte and Sam, he is one of the most talented basketball players in his generation. Like, he's got it. He's got it like that. And, you know, the fact that he didn't do that on a consistent basis frustrated people. But they love De'Aaron Fox here. They love De'Aaron Fox here to the depths, to the end. And they're frustrated. They're scared. They're worried that he might leave. But if De'Aaron Fox wants to stay, the city's going to welcome him with open arms until he decides he doesn't want to be here anymore. Because he was on his way to being the greatest king of all time. And if he stays, that's where he's going to get to. But, you know, he got him to the playoffs. He broke the streak. He gets the credit for all of that. Sometimes I just think people – Damian says this a lot. He – talking about Damian, thinks that he knows how good De'Aaron Fox is more than De'Aaron Fox knows. You know what I mean? And that's what frustrates people from time to time. But as far as turning on De'Aaron Fox, not at all. Not at all. This is his city. This is his city, man. And we're going to ride with him as long as he's here.
Talking with Kenny Caraway, co-host of D'Lo and Casey on ESPN 1320, and SAC, Joe Spadoni alongside Bonte Hill here. And Kenny, we can pivot a little bit to the San Francisco 49ers, because obviously you guys cover the Niners out there at a very high level. And just another disappointing season. We're talking about disappointing seasons of the Kings and Warriors thus far, but a tremendously disappointing season for the San Francisco 49ers, who were just a year ago had the dreams of hoisting a Lombardi trophy. And now those dreams seem very far away. How would you evaluate this past season? For you could pick and choose who you want to talk about, but I mean, the biggest name obviously is the guy that's going to get paid probably, and that's Brock Purdy. What did you think of his season and, you know, his upcoming payday?
He had a good but not great season, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, if you look at the numbers, and there's more to it. Like, I watch the games, you know, so sometimes you look past the numbers. The numbers will tell you he's a top 10 quarterback. You know, the numbers will tell you probably he's closer to 5 than he is to 10. You know, you look at, you know, a lot of those numbers, and it supports that. I watched the games this year just like everybody else, and he wasn't always comfortable. His decision-making wasn't always there. But I thought he had a good season. I think he's under a super microscope, which is just the nature of the beast. But I thought he was good this year, considering, you know, you look at that offense sometimes, and there was second stringers and rookies all over the place. I mean, how many running backs did these guys go? They went through about 6 running backs this year. Their first-round pick got shot.
Yeah.
I didn't stutter. The first-round pick got shot in the chest.
Right down the street from our studio. I walk by there every day, man. And he got shot in the chest, for crying out loud.
I mean, my goodness. Christian McCaffrey, the biggest weapon that, you know, anybody has in the NFL, a lot of the time, at least in this past season, was he wasn't there for much of the season. The best left tackle maybe in the history of the game, or one of the best left tackles in the history of the game, was in and out of the lineup. George Kittle was in and out of the lineup. My man Debo, who I love, he looks like he's a shell of himself a lot of the times. And Brandon Ayuk ripped his knee apart halfway through the season. And still with all that, you look at Brock Purdy, you know, he's top 10 in yards. The touchdowns weren't there. They had a red zone issue or whatever the case may be. But you look at the QBR, you look at the completion percentage, you look at the average yards per pass and all this other stuff. It's still up there. It's still up there. And I think, you know, do I want to give him $60 million? No. But that might also be just kind of what the market dictates. I don't think he will. I think they'll find a way to get him more than Trevor Lawrence. That's the key. That's the killer right there. He'll get more than Trevor Lawrence, but maybe not as much as Dak. And I think he deserves it. I believe in Brock Purdy. And much like everybody said, well, he's no good without Callin around him. Yeah, no, yeah. Almost cursed. Yeah, of course. Like, you need Callin around you to be good. And Brock Purdy is no different than any other quarterback in this league. So, yeah, I tell you, man, I have no reservations.
KC, with the way Parag Marah taking, draw contracts, who's to say it's not a two-year deal with opt-outs after the first year or second year? Hell, if it's a five-year deal, you can opt out after 1 year. It's the Jimmy G contract where you have a chance to get out of the contract every April. So I'm not worried about 50 to 60 million because you're right. What quarterback without talent is going to thrive? We saw Mahomes in the Super Bowl with no offensive line couldn't score more than 9 points. All right, we saw Tom Brady in Super Bowls struggle because his offensive line couldn't block. His last year in New England, I thought Brady was washed. I thought he was washed, but then you look at the roster around him, it's like, well, that wasn't really a good roster. So nobody's going to thrive. You need your offensive line, as you mentioned, a running back situation, and you need some receivers who can beat man coverage. Now, let's end this conversation with this, because I'm glad I don't think Jed York had to come out and say that Shanahan and Lynch are coming back. We already knew that, unless you're a dumbass who thinks that you're going to fire these guys after one down year. That's just idiotic talk right there. So they're coming back. We know that. Brock Purdy's probably going to come back as well. But one guy I looked at on Monday Night Football last week against Detroit, and he got one target. Now, the one target went for a touchdown, but it was on a jet sweep. Deebo Samuel. I feel like we're going to see Deebo Samuel, if he does suit up for the last time on Sunday against Arizona. What do you think about that, KC? It feels like he's playing out the string here.
Man, Deebo is, I talk about this all the time on the show, he's my favorite 49er in a long time. Him and Fred Warner. I love the current iteration of 49ers. I love those two guys. Deebo is my guy. But Deebo is washed. He's finished. He's not the same. You know, you guys, I talk about this on the show often, right? You remember the movie Little Big League?
Oh, yeah.
You know, where the kid took over the manager position for the Twins?
Yep.
And he had the old great, like the old Will Clark type guy that he loved, and he was struggling. And the guy... the old Will Clark type guy, he gets a seeing eye single in the right field. And the little kid goes, he tells the little adult assistant manager, he says, see, look at him, he got that hit. He still got it. And the guy tells him, that was a single to right field. If you're excited about that, that tells you everything that you need to know about where he's at. And that's how I feel when I see Deebo on a jet sweep go for 11 yards. I'm like, look at Deebo, he got 11 yards on that one. Guy used to go 40 yards to the house, and I'm up here getting hyped because he goes 11 yards on a jet sweep. My man is finished, man. He's finished, man. And I think we've seen the last of him as a 49er. And, you know, it's time to regroup. You talk about this 49ers team. I don't think that they need a complete rebuild. I think there's still young talent there. You still got your Warners. You still got, the guys up front like Pony. You got Purdy. You might have found something in Jordan Mason and all those guys and stuff like that. You got Diamond or Lenore. You've got some young guys still around there, but you got to reload. You got to retool some of this stuff. And it starts at that wide receiver position. I like Pearsall. But you got to get another receiver because I think Deebo's gone. Brandon Ayuk, I love him too, but I'm just being real with you guys. I'd be surprised if he looked anything like he looked previous to this knee injury ever again. I mean, that knee was ripped to shreds. And I can't imagine that he comes back at any point in his career looking like Brandon Ayuk. I hope I'm wrong, but you got a plan for that. So I think at some point you got to look at maybe getting two, three receivers in this offseason to kind of bolster this offense. So you're going to have to retool some stuff, man. And I think John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, they're the guys that can get the job done. Yep. But you know how much I like Kyle. You know that's my dog, too. The clock has started.
Yeah.
The clock has started. Yeah.
No doubt. Clock has started, but he's not going anywhere. And they'll be recharged. I think they need to fix the trenches as well. Defensive line, offensive line, they'll fix that. But I think the Niners will be back in contention next season for the NFC. But, hey, Kitty, it's on Sunday, the first round between the Warriors and Kings. Talk. You know, Monday shows are going to be lit. Monday show's going to be lit. You know, I can't let you guys come down to the dental office and come away with the win. I got to give you guys some root canals, some Novocaine, put some braces on your mouth. I'm telling you right now, man, it's going down on Sunday.
It's going to be a quick little teeth cleaning real quick. You know what I mean? It's going to be real quiet in there. Real quiet. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got to worry about that. It's going to be real quiet in there. And, you know, to be honest with you, you know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid of Buddy Hield, man. Remember when Harrison Barnes, remember when Harrison Barnes hit for 39 on the Warriors last year?
I remember that.
I could see Buddy Hield trying to go off, man. I'm worried about Buddy Hield, man. He might get his groove back on Sunday.
Hey, man, he might start cooking. I can't wait for that. Well, you guys got the Grizzlies tonight. The Warriors have the Grizzlies Saturday.
No
doubt. So I need you to run them into the ground, tire those legs out, so we could, you know, make quick work of them on Saturday, and then Sunday we'll see you down here at the dental office. Let's go.
That's the plan, and I think it's a back-to-back. I think Steph don't need to play two nights in a back-to-back. gotta look at that knee a little bit, man. Yeah. Gotta look at that knee, so you know what I'm saying. If you have to play against the Grizzlies, he can sit out against the Kings. It's good.
And the Sabonis may get the Draymond flu. You know that may happen.
Don't do that to Dre. Don't do that to Sabonis. Don't do that. My boy's going to be ready to go.
All right.
Stomp the yard part four.
Hey, relax over there. Relax over there, all right? Day's playing well. He's a champion to change.
Yeah.
KC, always good to talk to you, my brother.
Always love, man. Y'all take care. Bonte, Joe, I think I said Sam earlier.
It's
Joe,
okay. You and Baldy both. Yeah, Baldy called me Sam four different times the other day.
Sam is on my screen. That's why I said
okay,
that.
Okay, gotcha.
Hey, you know what? You know what? The way Joe been talking about my Warriors, man, you can call him whatever the hell you want to, KC.
Hey, Kenny would be coming on my side. I'm saying trade Draymond now. The value's at an all-time
high. He wants to trade Draymond for Jimmy Butler. I want nothing to do with Jimmy Butler right now. I want nothing to do with that guy.
Hey, trick or treat Draymond, you don't know what you're getting every night. Sometimes you play good, sometimes you don't.
Hey, none of that's been happening this year. He's a champion to change.
Yeah.
He showed a lot of leadership this season. All right? Leave my boy alone. KC, have a good Friday, my brother. Have a good show up there.
Y'all take care, man. I'll take care, bro.
Anytime. Kenny Caraway, ESPN 1320. Damian Barley and Kenny Caraway. Their show. They went live stream after my, because they weren't on the air.
I watched it.
Oh, you watched it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was great. It was unbelievable. Damian Barley said the team was so mad.
He started up. He didn't even know what the stream, like how to like start it up. Like, he said, like, I don't even know if anyone can hear me. I don't know what's happening right now. But he was just dropping F-bombs left and right. He was pouring himself some brown liquor. It was great.
When they drafted Keegan Murray, their faces, oh, they did it. They did it, Keegan. Oh, no.
Talk about buyer's remorse going back to the Halliburton trade. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
I mean, last year in particular, seeing Tyrese Halliburton in the Indiana Pacers being the Eastern Conference Finals the way they were. And now you have De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, and that thing already crashed out, and their high watermark was a Game 7 loss to the Golden State Warriors in the first round.
They better do everything they need to keep Fox up there in Sacramento.
You think they're gone? You think he's gone, though, after this summer?
No, I don't think he's gone.
You don't?
They bet not. They better not do that. No. 404, Bonte, you guys might as well watch my latest YouTube video, What Happened to the Warriors versus Philly? Then subscribe. It's going to get real.
Well, what's your name?
Yeah, what's your name, 404, and how's it going to get real?
If you got to plug your channel, you got to
give us a name. Yeah, I'll give you a free plug. Got no problem.
Yeah,
I'm not scared.
As long as you start to stream at 10 o'clock.
Exactly.
We'll shout it out shamelessly.
Exactly. 95.7 The Game live stream is that what we do.
You can start it when Steiny gets out of here.
There you go. And Evan Giddings.
By the way, really quick, Steve Kerr will be on today with Grandy and Dibs at 5 o'clock.
Appointment radio.
Coming off a win for the first time in a long time, it feels like, Steve Kerr.
That's why
Kerr.
I got him on today, yeah.
There you go.
Smart.
Hey, no respect for Spadoni here. We got Baldy and Spadoni.
Yes, sir.
Sam.
Well, in fairness, because that actually makes sense. I didn't think about it. Both of them were on Zoom the last time, the last people that said that. And it does say Sam Lubman's name when he logs in on his account.
Gotcha.
So that does make sense. But you know what? That's okay. I don't take that as a slight. Sam Lubman is beautiful. I actually wish I had the hair of a Sam Lubman. It is beautiful.
Put a lot of work into it. Thank you, Spadoni.
Tormund Giantsbane over here. Oh, that's a Game of Thrones reference for some of you. There you go. Doesn't have the beard, though. Quite the beard of a Tormund. But Kenny was great.
I may just drop in for that Kings game. 262 says... Do y'all have any intel about the Modelo Cantina seat?
Oh.
I don't have any intel. I've never sat up there. I've done a show from up
there. That's
a
Chase?
Chase Center, yes, at the top. Behind the basket, closest to the Warriors.
That's not the Michelob Ultra Lounge, right? That's
no.
a different one?
Yeah, that's from downstairs. Yeah,
I think I've walked by there a bit because sometimes during the playoffs when the media section's too full, people like me get bumped up to the top section, which is right above
no
that Modelo section. That's whatever.
Hey, Raymond Ritter, come on. Let's just go. Take
if
care
I said it's Joe Spadoni, I'm probably down with the rest of the media.
Joe Spadoni, you probably not get the credential.
No. Penny might, not
but
me.
Anyway.
Rizzo might, not you.
No.
It seems like pretty cool. I think you get those slushy alcoholic drinks from there. Man. So if I know this is great slushy alcohol weather.
Is that what we're doing when we get our media passes? We get the slushy alcohol? Is that
no,
what we're
I'm
doing
saying.
Here?
I've walked by there. I saw the drinks there. Maybe the first time I got a credential, I might have gotten something there. But yeah, it seems like a pretty cool place to sit and watch the game. You're very high up, so if you're into that.
You know what? That brings me to a question right now. We got three credentialed guys in here. Bonte been credentialed in the past for, obviously, Giants, Niners. What is the protocol about having an alcoholic beverage? Is that a faux pas? Is that a no-no if you're covering the game?
Well,
or is that a press box only thing where you don't do that?
Well, I think it's a no-no, right, Rizzotto?
So I think it's a no-no. Okay, so funny story.
He's
not
old enough to drink, though.
He's not. Well, but
he's
again,
like
he might
years
see
old.
Other people, I'm saying.
I think you just
graduate high school. Yeah, you're excellent.
No, you just graduated college.
I just, graduated college. Okay, so there's the prime minister of, like, or the president Malaysia. Of, like, Argentina came and visited Oracle Park a few years ago. And he had this entourage of media that came and sat in the press box. And a beer vendor was walking by the press box, and this guy was in the front row, and he tried to order a beer. And there was somebody else, an unnamed member of the media, who tried to say, hey, we don't do that here. But the guy ended up ordering the beer anyways, and he was drinking a beer in the press box. So I guess in that case it was fine.
If you're
but
the president of a sovereign nation, yes, you can drink in the media area.
Yeah, it was one of the media members for the Argentina president.
Well, different cultures, right? Well, that's a different, like...
Yeah, Dan Dibley always, you know, brings up the story, so I don't feel like I'm snitching here. Okay. I'm not 311 Shasky in this moment. But Eddie Johnson, who we have on the show a lot.
Sure.
He comes to the finals because he does his SiriusXM NBA radio
very
show.
Good.
And very good on that. I love him and Termini. I listen to it every day. Eddie Johnson would always bring a beer to the press box. But that's Eddie Johnson.
Yeah.
That's a guy who scored over 20,000 points in the league. Say Eddie Johnson do what the hell he wants to do.
So I think technically, yes, you're not supposed to drink if you have a media credential. I might have broken that rule once when I went to my first playoff game with a credential at Chase Center. But where it gets kind of fuzzy, though, is for Niner games, afterwards, when everyone's doing like their post-game media work, they will like pour beer like out of the tap for you after Niner games in the media section while you're doing your post-game work. So, I don't know. Sometimes it's a no-no. Sometimes, apparently, it's
after
okay.
the game, yeah. I guess after
that makes
the
sense.
Game.
After the game. I mean, yeah, there's a professional standard, too, obviously. Right. You got to kind of police yourself in that situation. That's why, you know, I had the one, had a bunch of water with it, and I like to think that was my way of being responsible.
There you go.
Okay. So, it's for the most part, is frowned upon, is I guess the phrase, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Why do you
well, unless the team is having
a
celebration.
Spadoni doesn't want a credential anymore.
You want to sip
go and drink because I don't care because I'm not like whatever. Like I'm not. Well, I'm a guy on the couch most of the time. So like that's how I view my viewing experience because I like to block out the noise of everything else and everyone else. I'm actually tapped in more than the people that are actually at the game most of the time. So I don't do that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Look at you. Look at you.
Too cool to drink.
Too cool. Too cool for school. What about
yeah, I got two kids.
I thought you were
going to
ask if you could wear a jersey in a press box.
No, that is absolutely
not happening
in American sports media. I've heard other countries will like let you do that.
Oh yeah,
like I had a journalist professor.
Argentina,
you
guys probably weren't a message.
Yes.
I had a journalist professor in college. She said like she would cover the World Cup a lot, and all the other nations, like their press people are like going nuts. They're cheering. They're wearing jerseys, taking selfies, and then all the American media is like in their stuffy suits and whatnot, just in their laptops with no emotion, being all boring and whatnot. It's pretty interesting.
Covering the All-Star game in New York City. Remember the press box at Madison Square Garden? The folks who came over to cover the game from China, Brazil, Japan. Dude, they had like Laker scarves, Bulls beanies, jerseys on underneath. They were
I'm
like celebrating. I was like, dude, this guy from China. I forget his name, man. He has some broken English, but we got along great. I love the guy. I wish I got his Instagram name or whatnot. It was back in 2015. But dude, he had the Bulls beanie, the Kobe Laker jersey, an NBA scarf with the pea coat. And he was decked out, ready to roll. And he had, like, these NBA logo pins. I mean, he was all about it.
See, that's the thing. Like, And you already referenced that guy, you've referenced the Argentinian. Like, there's a cultural difference here, too, that we just don't understand. Like, we are a hub for sports in America. Basketball, baseball in particular, and obviously American football. Soccer, we're not there yet with these other countries, obviously, especially even Europe and South America. But I do wonder if we were to go over as an American, if I go over cover like a Mexico versus USA game out in Estadio Azteca, I'll have it a cerveza. Why not? Right?
Yeah,
if it's culturally, if it's accepted over there, like who am I to tell someone from Argentina or China, like not to have a good time and have fun with it?
I guess the question, in Rome.
Yeah.
Or Argentina.
You know what? I guess the question too now, because we didn't talk much football today. Purdy's not going to play. Josh Dobbs is going to start.
The Pastronaut
is going to start. How many beers will you need to get through that Niner game on Sunday?
Got to have some juice on it for that game.
Got to have some juice for that game.
Well, gin and juice, particularly. But like Kyler Murray versus. Thank you, Kyler Murray versus Josh Dobbs.
Is Kyler going to play?
He better play.
Should have got Gambo on.
Talk Suns too.
Talk some Phoenix Suns with Gambo.
Well, Corbin Burns, we're going to talk there. Might have been an angle with that.
Yeah, no, Corbin Burns.
He's a loser.
Jesus.
We just wait till he strikes out 13 at Oracle Park.
He'll be a high level loser.
D-backs were just a year removed from the World Series.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Sonos asking, what about starter jackets? And I know where you're going with that one. Oh boy, Ryan Leong wears a starter jacket there.
To his credit, he never wears a starter jacket of a team that is playing that
game. He doesn't.
So he shows up to Giants games with like the Niner starter jacket. He's at Niner games with like a random Nuggets starter jacket.
He's got
like
all the starter jackets.
You gotta have the starter jacket with every single team on there. That's the next level one right there. Like the NFL starter jacket with all the teams.
He's got them all. Level.
Ryan, if you're listening, there's your next jacket.
Does he listen to us? He's always quoting the other station. Look into Ryan Leong to tell him, you better start listening to this.
It's like I want to come on the show.
Sure.
I would book Ryan Leong for an interview.
And who is Ryan Leong?
Why not?
And who is Ryan Leong?
Ryan Leong has been covering Bay Area sports since like the mid-90s. What is this? Bay Area sports rap.
Yeah, there you go.
Bay Area sports rap. They do a good job. They got the Klay Thompson video of him skipping back to the locker room. That's him and Marco.
He has been a Bay Area sports media fixture for over 25 years.
Yes.
During that time, he has worked for ESPN Radio, CBS Sports Radio, which no longer exists, Associated Press Broadcasting, and Sirius XM NFL Radio.
I've learned a lot of interesting things from Ryan Leong, actually.
Third generation San Francisco.
No, he is.
He did traffic at KCBS, I think.
Yeah, he did traffic at KCBS. He does the updates live for the press box at Levi's Stadium. He does a great job at doing that. He's a great update anchor. The Pride of St. Ignatius High School. Shout out to Ryan Leong. Somebody's texted in. No, 415. Mo Salah had especially sweet feet for Liverpool versus West Ham United yesterday. That game was actually on Sunday. But, yes, Mo Salah is the best player in the world right now. The best player in the world. Mo Salah. Liverpool is rolling in the Premier League.
They are balling. They are 6 points clear of second place in the Premier League.
You'll never walk alone.
You'll never walk alone.
Never walk alone. See, Spinoni, we can do shows. We need to talk soccer.
I love
soccer. We need to talk the U.S. Open.
Australian Open. BG Tennis Nation.
Woo! He texted yesterday. He was on Jeopardy, I think.
Was he really?
Hey, he texted
me a video. Like the Celebrity Jeopardy one?
Yeah, he texted me a video.
How'd he do?
I got to watch it.
Ken Jennings and the now host, RIP Alex Trebek.
I didn't watch it. Not yet.
Oh, we got Liverpool. Liverpool Tottenham coming up next week in the EFL Cup.
Yeah, I moved off of Tottenham.
And we got Liverpool Man United at Man U Sunday at 8:30. A little appetizer before Niners Cardinals.
My final thought is,
or Raiders
is this
Chargers.
My final thought is this it for Deebo Samuel with the 49ers? If it is, how will we remember Deebo Samuel? Maybe that's a talking point on Monday. It's going to be very intriguing to see, number one. Could possibly be his final game with the 49ers if he does suit up.
And you were just mentioning Mo Salah. This could be his last year at the club. That was his quote yesterday via ESPN. I'm reading it now. But Deebo Samuel, that's a good point. I want to see George Kittle finish this year off on a high note. In a season of disasters, George Kittle has been a bright spot, and he's been one of the best players in the NFL. Probably going to be first-team All-Pro, if not second-team. It's just been unbelievable. Finish it off. I'm calling it. Touchdown and 100-plus yards for George Kittle in his final game.
I love that.
And a backup quarterback's best friend is who, Bonte? Retired end tight end.
Let's talk about, is this it for Debo? Is this it for Buster Posey and the Giants offseason? Andrew Bagley wrote a piece in The Athletic yesterday basically detailing how ever since that Willie Adames signing, the Giants have been not really doing anything. And what was once a very promising-looking offseason is now starting to look like a are-we-doing-anything kind of offseason. So, man, Buster Posey is...
He's
not hot or anything, but I mean...
Q-Rady going down already?
Already.
Three-time World Series champ?
There are certain Giants fans on Twitter who are already going down that rabbit hole.
Oh, let me guess who.
Yeah, you know who.
Let me guess
who.
Yeah,
but we're not going to mention him because he's a knucklehead. But, you know, the truth is, the Giants, their improvement's not going to come through free agency. These young guys on the team, Kyle Harrison, Hayden Birdsong, Elliot Ramos, Patrick Bailey, need to see these guys take the next steps in their development and become real ball players.
The guy you're talking about who complains, and he always takes shots at this show. He seems to know what goes on the show every single day for a guy who hates this show. Let me just say that.
Can't wait to hear him tweet about this Fast Five later on.
Clown. Risotto, what's up?
Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys is the podcast that Sam is on, so you can check out more about that. But also, we were talking about what name is for the Rookie of the Year. What's the name? Who's it named after? And the National League and American League are both named after Jackie Robinson. So it's the Jackie Robinson Rookie of the Year Award.
Whoa. There you go.
There you go, Risotto. Good job.
Mason
contributed
Miller
to the show today. And you said I bring the heat.
As you would say, stealing money from Odyssey.
Hey, so, hey, listen. We
another
all
week
do
of doing that.
Yeah, I've been doing it for almost 8 years, man. Over 8 years. Trust me.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Look at me now. Look at me now, baby. Getting haircuts every other week. Woo! Thank you, Odyssey. No, Risotto, great job. You told me that I would bring the heat. You told me that I had the journalist in background. It's the best compliment I ever received on these airways. I swear to God. It's
I Heat.
I Heat, which has been canceled on MLB Network. Chris Russo.
ESPN might pick it up.
Oh, I like that. Ooh, I like that. 650 Spadone in the Hill. Shasky in trouble because y'all are great. No, Shasky will be back on Monday. He'll be back.
He will.
And then... Can't wait to see. Who else said something? Somebody else said something. Oh, never mind. Oh, you'll never walk alone. Shout out Patty LaBelle. Just like Patty, kick off your shoes, guys, because your show is over. Great job. I don't know if that's a compliment or what, but whatever. That was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Warriors win! Warriors win! We ain't trading nobody! Get the hell out of here with that Jimmy Butler talk.